are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Right. Good morning, Pastor Ian.
Good morning, my sister, and how are you this morning?
I am well, thanks. How are you?
I am fine.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I hope you are ready for today's conversation and that God has been good to you since we last spoke.
Absolutely, yes, I am.
Okay. So forgiving others, especially in situations of deep hurt or betrayal, can be one of the most challenging aspects of the Christian faith. It requires a deliberate choice, a very deliberate choice to let go of resentment, of anger, of bitterness, of any sour feeling, and then to embrace a spirit of compassion and grace. So today we are going to be learning how to forgive each other. And to be honest, that already... just that what I've just said is already showing that forgiving is hard because, you know, being hurt and harboring resentment feels easier. So now having to forgive is going to be such a hard journey. So let's see what is expected of us in order for us to truly forgive others. So Pastor Malilwe, how do you differentiate between forgiveness and reconciliation, especially in situations where trust has been severely damaged or broken?
Thank you so much. That's a really a good question. Just maybe as you said earlier on to say, forgiveness is quite hard, and we are not born with it, right, so to say, meaning that it is a cultivated spirit that needs to be fed on a daily basis in order for us to forgive. However,
yes,
we must be able to realize that forgiveness and reconciliation, just as we echoed the other 2 days to say, they are not really the same. In the Bible, we are commanded to forgive, meaning that that is, of course, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, where Jesus says, "Forgive those who trespass against you, and also your Father in heaven will forgive you." Verse 15 continues to say, if you do not forgive those who trespass against you, your heavenly Father also will not forgive you. Now, that comes out as an imperative, a command that is not necessarily imposed on a human being, but it is given to a human being for his good end result. I want to say this to say, most times whenever we are hurt, more especially when we are being offended, we really find it so hard to let go of what other people might have done to us. Someone, as I was doing some research, someone wrote to say, this verse 14 and 15, it's one of the practical verses that we don't usually find either on the mud cap or maybe written on the car or maybe on someone's status. It is not usually the case, but it is the verse that really speak out deep down to our hearts of our inner who we really are. It digs out substance of life that keeps on bothering us and things that makes us sometimes succeed or sometimes fail to succeed in life. Perhaps that person alluded to say, maybe this is the whole reason as to why this verse is neither seen or is rarely seen or is rarely being talked about because it's command. It commands us to forgive those who sin against us or who trespass against us. Meaning that we are just commanded to forgive. However, on the other hand, reconciliation, as it is the final process of forgiveness, a person can still choose either to forgive or a person can still choose either to reconcile or not to reconcile.
I think that's a perfect segue to the next thing. So the next thing we want to know is what are common misconceptions or myths about forgiveness. So that what you just said now, the decision to reconcile or to not reconcile, you know how people say I'll forgive but I won't forget. Is that true forgiveness truly if you don't reconcile? Is it really forgiveness, or are we just saying we're forgiven to say we're forgiven, but our actions are saying something completely different? Because then if we look at it from the context of, I mean, of course, we can never be like God, right? We can't be like God. We cannot expect to experience things like he does. But if we've done horrible things, if I've lived a life full of, you know, atrocious sins, God doesn't say, I forgive you, but I want nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? When he forgives, you're embraced back into him. So when, how do we have that excuse to say, I forgive you, but I won't forget what you did? Is that really, truly forgiveness? Or when we say, I forgive you, but I want nothing to do with you. I don't know if you've seen, it's become like a common thing that people go no contact with their family members or with their friends. They like cut them off. They say, I've forgiven them, but I want nothing to do with them. How does that translate truly into forgiveness? Or have we misconstrued the true meaning of what forgiveness is?
All right. Thank you so much. Maybe before I speak out on the misconception, I'd love also maybe to invite our viewer to say misconception or thighs are not a situation of what is really obtaining on the in the heart of someone. Meaning that when the moment I begin to give you these some of these misconceptions on forgiveness, they are statement that shows to say these do not mean that when someone, for example, number one of some of the misconceptions that people always have about forgiveness. Number one, one of the misconceptions we can say, I still remember what happened. So that does not mean that one has not forgiven the person. Meaning that when one remembers what happened, people will say, then you have not forgiven your offender. So in the nutshell, usually we are being misjudged because of when the moment you say, sister, I still remember the way you disappointed me. But does that mean that a person has not forgiven you?
But why bring it up? Why bring it up? You know, when someone keeps bringing something up, it means that they still have some negative feelings about it. You know, if maybe I stole your phone, Pastor, and then I confess and then you forgive me, and then next time we meet, you'll be like, but you know, when you stole my phone, it was a problem. Like, it makes it a very sour relationship between the two of us if you bring up something that you have apparently forgiven, but you still harbor some negative feelings for it to be something that stays in your mind. Even if it does, if you remember it, but if you bring it up, it's like you're trying, it's like it feels like you are rubbing it back in to say you did this to me, you know, as if now there's another level of apology that I need to give to gain more forgiveness, you know, don't you think?
Not really necessarily, because our minds are programmed in a such a way that whatever that happened in your life, for example, it could be bad or good, you still remember what really happened at that particular time, because our brain are programmed in a such a way that when you remember, you are able now to reign in the in the future of how to handle certain situations. So it does not really necessarily mean to say, when one remembers, by the way, there is no need of the offended to say, I still remember, whenever you meet, or when it is not necessary to mention that aspect, unless you want maybe to teach somebody to say, for example, let me give you my experience of what I passed through.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember when I was really hurt, but this is the way I handled the situation. That does not really mean that a person never forgave a person who hated him. Now, remember, we're dealing with the misconception about this topic of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And these are some of the issues that hold us back not to forgive those who step on our toes in most cases. Meaning that when we say, I still remember what happened, in a nutshell, we are just informing somebody to say, even though that happened, I have moved on with life. I have come to understand that the way God forgave me,
mm-hmm.
it really gives me the joy and the inner peace that comes from God and God alone.
Mm.
By the way, I must also state to say, God has forgiven every one of us, but then he has put a condition, as we look through in the reigns of John chapter 3 verse 16, to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The action of giving the son, it was the action of forgiveness by God. But that in itself does not mean to say, since God forgave everyone, then everyone will be saved. No.
Mm.
To ponder on the one who has offended, to realize that my attitude toward the person I have offended has a consequence of my end of how we may relate with this person.
Mm.
Meaning that when you forgive, it is not automatically that that person becomes your friend.
Mm.
There is another process, the last process of reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
if you really want that person to be back in your life. Maybe the second point on the misconception that I can also say is, if I forgive, then I have give up the protection I have against those who hate me.
Mm.
That necessarily does not mean to say, when you forgive someone, then you have given up the protection.
Right.
No, you are actually saying, I don't want to keep on holding on to pain and hate.
Mm.
So I want to let go of this pain and hate that might drain me and finish me and see me in the grave at the end of the day.
Mm.
So meaning that when you know that this, it has a danger or a serious consequences by the end of it, should I continue to hold to lead, then it will not just finish the person I have not forgiven, but equally with me too, I will be also be eaten, and the consequences of it all, it will even make me not to progress in life, because the command says, forgiving, it's on a daily basis, as we are looking at this topic.
Okay.
So continuously giving, it does not mean to say, today you have wronged me, then tomorrow when you wrong me, I am not forgive you, no. Since the command saying continuously forgiving, it simply means that even when, no matter how painful it is, we must learn to God and say, God, this is not in me. However, I want you to come in my life and help me carry this burden. Remember, the action of forgiveness is quite like a burden that you are carrying on a daily basis, because if you don't forgive, you end up finding yourself into another troubles.
Mm.
So we are looking at a command of being forgiving others. We need just to practice in a way that it will bring joy and peace and love at the end of the day in our life. Last, maybe on this point, that I can also say is, if I forgive, then I have to admit that what happened was acceptably wrong. That simply means to say, when I forgive, I am admitting to say what happened was not supposed to be done, but then we needed to do this way. That's what it means. But in the misconception way, one would say, when I forgive, then people may think to say, okay, what for me to forgive, then what that person did to me was acceptable. You get the concept?
Yes, I get
meaning
the concept.
Meaning that many people tend to think to say, if I let go, for example, I would also maybe give a practical example there to say, your daughter has been left, and the person who has left your daughter comes to you and seek for forgiveness. You look at the community. How will the community look at me? If I say I have forgiven you without taking this perpetrator to the law, then the community will say what happened was acceptable. So many times you find that you are locked in a certain situation that you want to do this, but because of when you think of what people will think about you, then you say, may I not go that way, but instead I will not forgive, but let this person face the law. And since the law in the eyes of the community is looked to say, when the law condemns you, you have to reap the consequences. But in the Kian Leong, we are saying, even when you forgive, it does not mean what was done was acceptable, but you are simply saying, let us collect the situation.
Okay. I just want to get clarity. You're saying that if someone has, for example, the example you used, if someone raped me or my sister, if I forgive them, my forgiveness, even if they go to jail, it's just them facing the consequences of their actions, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then, so you already spoke about how it's, when we don't forgive, it affects us as people. We are not able to move on with our lives. We're not able to succeed in anything because we are harboring those feelings of resentment and whatnot. So what are some practical steps that we can take to cultivate a spirit of forgiveness? Because like we've been saying, that it's not an easy thing. It takes work, considering sometimes the things that are done are so grave. It's like, how can you move past this? So what can we do as we live daily to cultivate a spirit of forgiveness and letting go of resentment?
All right. The practical steps that we may look at as those that may cultivate a spirit of forgiveness. Number one, allow me to say that we must be able to admit that we are in pain. When we admit that we are really here, we are really feeling the pain. It could be a physical pain or emotional pain, but or mental pain. But at the end of the day, we must be able to acknowledge the pain of how we felt and how we are still feeling, in order for us to cultivate the spirit of forgiveness. And when we do so, that works through the pain that at the end of the day, since we do not want to feel this pain, want to let the pain go. And the only way of letting the pain go is to let go of what happened in a Christian way, that at the end of the day, we get healing and restoration and have the peace of mind. Then number two, you must be able to think through of things that, okay, if I continue, for example, if I continue holding on to this grudge, holding on to this bitterness, what will it profit me? Think through How is it going to assist the community, your family members around you, and the person actually who might have done really an ethical thing to you? At the end of the day, when you think through, when you come to the conclusion to say it is not worth holding on to it, then you come to the conclusion to say, I must be able to forgive in order for me to move on with life.
Right.
Then, number three, the practical steps. You have to imagine being on the other side. What this simply means. If I am the one who has longed, how will I want people to look at me to help me through in this problem? Think through to say, okay, if it was my son or my daughter who have done this, how can I want him or her to be handled?
Right, right. We have to now add that perspective. Okay.
Yes, when we do that reflection at the end of the day, we'll be able to come to the conclusion to say, sometimes to forgive, it is actually better on the side of a person who has been wronged. And when you come to that conclusion, you see in the eyes of the offender to say, there must be some remorse or action of saying, I am really sorry of what I did. Then as you forgive, those are the issues that may end up leading you to reconcile at the end of the day. And number four, we have to remember God's forgiveness. How did it happen? Was the world at that point went to beg before God to say, we have sinned and so we are here to seek for forgiveness? If we never did, if the world never did that, what prompted God to forgive us? And when we remember the action which God took, we will be able to do what? To come to the conclusion to say, no, if God forgave, we must be able also to do what? To forgive. Number five is we need to reflect on the biblical command.
Okay.
What is the biblical command? Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Forgive those who trespass against you, so that your Father in heaven can also. Now, when the Bible says gives us a conjunction of to say, because of what I have said,
right,
in order for you to be forgiven, you must first do this first part. And what is the first part? I must forgive those who trespass against me. I must be able to forgive my offenders. When I am able to forgive my offenders, then when I go and kneel down in the closet of my chamber as I pray and antagonize with my Savior Jesus, then he will say, my son, my daughter, you are doing what is right because you are not holding any grudge of a person who have wronged you. So even our Heavenly Father will find it so fit to do it, to forgive us. Last but not the least, we must be able to let go of the hate, bitterness, and so forth. And then we, last but not the least, number seven of the practical steps, we must continue to forgive. And when we continue to forgive, we eventually find ourselves praying for those who hate us on a daily basis.
Right. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that. And I think you even went into the last thing that I wanted to ask regarding how we can understand God's forgiveness in relation to our forgiveness. And I think in the steps you reminded us that we need to remember that God did and continues to forgive us on a day-to-day basis. So who are we? I think we will wrap up for today. The time won't allow us for us to go any further, but I will allow, in case you have any last words you'd like to share, Pastor Ian, I'll give you the floor.
Thank you so much, friends and my fellow listeners out there. These are the practical issues that we are facing on a daily basis. And the only way out, in order for us to sit one day on that round table where Jesus will usher us to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
The command still remains to say, no matter how painful and difficult it is, we must be able to seek the intervention in God's understanding, that he may be able to give us strength, that we can be able to take this noble call, that we may be able to show the reflection of who really God is, even as we become the images that are created not far from who he is, but we can be able to show that if God says, let us create man in our own image, after our own likeness, then we'll be able to act like him. Then when we do so, heaven is for ours. May the Lord keep on to strengthen us and give us courage that we may seek him on a daily basis. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And may God bless you and everything that you do, Pastor Ian. We'll be back tomorrow morning, same time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.